Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning. Turn to page number 532 in the Mennonite hymnal. 532.
Morning, would the ushers come forward for the morning offering? A verse that we had in Sunday school class today, I thought it would be a good reminder for up here also, is 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Let's pray for the offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the reminder to love one another. We thank you for the reminder of you that you loved us, and I pray that we can share that love to others around us, even our enemies. We thank you for the service today. We pray for the offering. Bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand and join us in singing?
Good morning and welcome to our service today. I'd like to introduce to you Josiah Geer. If you haven't met him before, I'm going to share a bit about him. I think, Josiah, I was thinking about when the first time I met you was. I think it was, so I helped with the Calico Middle School Bible Study, and I think I remember you coming in the first time to that, and young man, confident in his faith and in God. Many of the youth know Josiah. I know a bunch of you have. He's played some with our softball team. A number of you know him already. Josiah shared at your church, I believe, and I think your pastor or someone encouraged you to look for other opportunities to speak and to share God's message. And he asked me about sharing here, and we were happy to do that and excited to have you share. So I'll pray for you. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you, just as we sang, God, that we can remember who we are, that we are your children, your sons and daughters. I thank you for each one of us, that you know our place. You know where we're at this morning as we are here today, spiritually, whether we feel like we're in a strong, good place with you right now, or there's things in our lives that we're struggling with, or there's just concerns that we're dealing with. I pray, God, that you would use today your word, your Holy Spirit, Josiah's words, to speak to us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, and that we in turn would do that for one another. Thank you that we can trust in you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm happy that you guys let me come and speak to you guys. I enjoy it, and I think it's a way that I can serve the Lord, just kind of apart from other things. So to start off, I want to give the definition. My sermon's on acceptance, and I want to give the dictionary definition of acceptance. It's the action or process of being received as adequate or suitable, typically to be admitted into a group. So seeing the struggle with acceptance is not hard, but admitting it and confronting it head-on to eventually eradicate the negative ideas of acceptance altogether is the part that is crucial and undeniably of the utmost importance. So throughout high school or college or even just in society, we see people who are putting on these alluring facades with makeup or the way they dress, the things they do, just these different things that we may not see as typical to, I guess, a normal person. But I don't believe that that's wrong. I think putting on makeup or wearing different clothes, the way we dress, the things, the way we look, because those things are the things that make our appearance, I don't think that's wrong. But when you start getting to the point where you're doing it for the wrong reason, that's the wrong thing. So if we're putting on makeup to please someone because you want to be accepted or liked into a friend group, I think that is not the right reason to be doing something. You should be able to be accepted into a friend group because they enjoy your presence, they enjoy your personality. And you do have the opportunity to do this. That's why we all dress differently, we all look differently, we have different attitudes, different personalities. But why do something if it's not beneficial for you? If you're putting something, if you're hiding your real personality and your real self within these alluring facades, why do it? It's not helpful for you, and it's definitely not helpful for the people that are seeing you. So putting on these images, these pictures for other people, that's your choice, and you can choose to change that. Putting yourself out there, being yourself to other people, is your choice, and that's something you can change. You just have to be willing to change it. So, but that's just kind of explaining a little bit of what I was looking into, but I want to break acceptance down a little bit. So here we go. There's a difference between accepting others as non-believers, accepting others as Christians, and then being accepted by God and knowing that He loves us. So first we're to accept non-believers as being important and valuable because that's what Christ did. In Sunday school we were talking a little bit about Zacchaeus and Matthew as tax collectors, and I had that in here a little bit. Matthew and his friends are strong examples So we're to accept non-believers as being important and valuable because that's what Christ did, right? To recover that. Matthew and his friends are strong examples of this as well as Zacchaeus. Accepting someone else is the key to things like friendship, family, relationships. We all have, I'm sure, friends, we all have family, we have relationships, and having that acceptance within from one person to another is really important. So these are high examples of people who were not accepted, who were blocked out from the community, who were disgraced, and you see where that got them. They fell apart, but then Christ recovered them. He brought them up, and if you read through the Bible, it speaks on where they were by the end. So accepting someone else is the key thing, so like friendship and family. But seeing and knowing the beauty of yourself will reflect to seeing and knowing the beauty of others. So within your family and your friendships, you'll be able to see and accept others if you are seeing and knowing the beauty that God made you. So the idea of God creating us should ultimately be enough to immediately accept all, including yourself. Knowing that someone of that power, that who rules everything, literally formed you from His hands. Like, that should be enough to understand that you're beautiful. Throughout Psalms 139, it speaks on this type of acceptance through Christ. And this is the key. Because Christ made us, we should be able to fully understand the beauty of ourselves, as it says, along with every living thing on earth. We should be able to believe our Creator without any doubt. An example that a lot of people use is, do we doubt the chairs we sit in? Do we doubt the benches that we sit in? The roof over our head in a storm? Like, we do not doubt these things. We trust them. We sit in them. We live in them. So when someone says to you, I made you, you're beautiful, and hands you scripture evidence that you are, why don't we believe them? So that's a huge thing that we have to understand, that when we're given proof, specific text in the Bible, why don't we believe that? So now in Romans 15:7 says, I'm not reading the scripture just because of time's sake, but Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So when it says we, it's meaning all mankind. And all mankind needs to understand that Christ chose to accept us as His chosen people. So me, you, them back there, everybody in this room who accepted Christ, who took that leap of faith, accepted Christ, they are the chosen people from God. The people who are speaking truth to other people every day. So there were not like tryouts like America's Got Talent or The Voice. I mean, obviously, he literally chose us personally. He said, I want you, 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 you. Like I said, there weren't tryouts for this. So having this ability and acceptance from God should make us so overpowered with this love that nothing should stand in the way of praising Him. So we let these things that are clouding our judgment, are clouding our image, hold us back from preaching the Word or showing God's love to other people. When God speaks of this in the Bible, its meaning is to show that we need to try to be even the fraction of what God is. So throughout the Bible, He's preparing us and He's guiding us towards Christ to be even the tiniest bit like Him. So He's preparing us and making us an image of Him. And that's what we have to strive for. This verse is directly saying that we need to accept others as a brother or sister in Christ, just like God did. That's what it comes down to. So, anybody, no matter how they look, how they dress, you should accept them. And you don't have to accept their ideas or the things they believe in, but as a human being made by Christ, that's something that you should accept. You should accept them for who they are. Like I said, not for what they think or what they do, but because they're made by Christ. Now you may ask what the difference was, because that was the first thing I was saying was accepting as a Christian to non-believers and accepting a Christian to another Christian. The difference is that God loves the world, meaning everyone, and that's is written in John 3:16. I'm sure we all know that. But only accepts those who personally receive Christ. John 1:12. So to elaborate, He loves everyone. So everyone who isn't a Christian, everyone who is a Christian, the people who are lukewarm in the middle, He loves everyone. But until we take that step, we take into faith, and we allow Him to work in our life to serve Him, we are not accepted by Him. We are loved by Him. We are not accepted into the family, into the Christian faith. So, kind of give an example of acceptance. I was reading a story about a man who walked into a church and he had torn, soiled clothes. Looked like he was just living on the side of the street, and he walks in and he has a pack of cigarettes in his pocket. When a deacon sees that, he walks up to him, takes him out, crumbles him up and throws him away, and says, "Sorry, not in here." Gives him no explanation, nothing, but as the service ended and the request for people to come up and give their life to Christ was over and everything happened, the pastor walked up to the man and said, apologized for the deacon's actions, and gave him $10. Now, he wasn't giving him that money because he believed in what the guy was doing. He gave him that money because that was something that he didn't accept, but he respected him. He respected the man as a man of God, a human being that God created with His hands, and he welcomed him in, as so the deacon should have done as well. So, as I was saying, the pastor welcomed this man, and the deacon should have also. Thankfully, the man was saved anyway, despite what the deacon had done. But when someone comes into our church, into our home, or anywhere we might receive someone to the Christian faith, or anywhere that we could preach the gospel, people, anybody, rich, poor, tall, short, anything like that, different or any way different than us, we should be willing to listen to what they have to say and accept them as a human being, because they too were made in the image of God. So everything that we do on this earth should be for Him, and letting problems like acceptance, in this case towards another person, to interfere with sharing the gospel or spreading God's love should immediately be ridden from one's life. We should strive to share the gospel. I mean, that's why we're put on the earth. That's why we strive every day to preach the word. That's why I'm standing here right now, because I enjoy this, and I think preaching the word, getting different views, different opinions out there about Christ is important. So I want to connect acceptance to judgment and criticism a little bit, because I know we've all done that. We've all seen that person walk through the doors and we're like, they don't look like they're Christian. They have bad clothes on or whatever. So I know we see people walk around in school. We see people walk into our homes. We see people walk into our church. But what's our first response? Do we see them and say, oh, wow, well, they're not welcome here? Are we welcoming, or are we just kind of ignoring them, or are we preaching the gospel, or are we trying to leave church and get away from them as fast as possible? So, now of course we sometimes have problems with wanting to be accepted or accepting others. This is why judgment and criticism are two of the reasons people struggle with acceptance. We see it all the time. We even probably do it to others. And like I said, I know I have. When we see someone who is a little different than ourselves or others, we tend to have thoughts and different feelings about them than we would to other people who say, or who may seem more like us, or the so-called word normal, whatever that is. I know at my school, when something gets out, it's out. We say things that we don't mean, but when we say them, it gets around the school, and when it gets back to that person, it makes them feel like they're worthless, depending on what was said. It leads to the idea of them not being good enough or something along those lines. It brings them down instead of rising up. It diminishes their worth, it diminishes their personality. But so we should accept everyone because they are made in the image of God, like I was saying in the beginning. But Genesis 1:27, Genesis 9:5 to 60, throughout that span of verses, it speaks on this. And I want to emphasize that God did not just die for me as a Christian, for you guys as Christians, anybody who's Christians. If I said that God died just for Christians, I would be lying, of course. And that's why I want to emphasize this. He did not just die for us. He died for each and every human being, big and small, tall and short, believer and non-believer. So John 3:16, Romans 5:8, Galatians 6:10, they all speak on the difference between God dying for Christians, God's dying for non-believers, and the acceptance to each one of those. We are not better or more different than the lost or the non-believers. The only thing that splits us apart from them is our faith. So if we are having a solid relationship with Christ, that is what is splitting us apart from the people who are not. I mean, it's simpler enough. So, this is, with the judgment and criticism, this is the part where monitoring what we think, say, and do comes into action. We have to understand that the words and the actions can really hurt people, and we just have to really monitor what we're saying. My mom always says that, if it's not helpful for building people up, then don't say it. And Ephesians 4:29 speaks of this, says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So when the Bible speaks of these words of truth and knowledge, we need to be able to accept them, use them accordingly, and preach the gospel. We need to accept our own faults and understand that we still have work in our own lives, so that it'll transfer over to knowing that we can share the gospel without being cocky about it, without being, oh, I'm a Christian, like, I'm better than you. We are on that same level. We have that same base relationship. Like I said, the only thing that splits us apart is our relationship in Christ. So we have to be willing to change things to become a better Christ follower. Like I said, being cocky, we cannot just be like, well, I can't grow anymore. But there's always room to grow. The greatest pastor in the world or the strongest believer, like, there's always a little more a little more space that you can always continue to grow. There's always that room to grow. So now, watching what you say does not mean you just stop talking altogether. I mean, obviously, that's ridiculous. But just because you think you're going to say something wrong, it just doesn't make sense. We all know we're going to make mistakes. But by making those mistakes, that's what guides us and leads us to have a better relationship with Christ. And it'll lead us to knowing what to do in that same situation. So by making mistakes, you will start to grow to have a natural tendency to speak truth and not negative words. So when people say failing is bad, yes, it is, but in a way, it's what builds your character, it's what builds your views, and in this case, it's what helps you to build that tendency to speak truth and knowledge into people. So you have to ask yourself, as you think about all this, do you accept others and love others, or are you more like the deacon? So the words that we say have an impact not only on others, but ourselves as well. So this connects directly with what I was saying earlier about having to accept yourself mostly before accepting others. Seeing and knowing the beauty of yourself will transfer over to seeing and knowing the beauty of others. If someone is continually putting themselves down by degrading their abilities or their looks, etc., then they will start to believe the things they're saying to themselves, resulting in one, the devil taking control and having more power over that person, and two, they're falling into this problem of acceptance. They're falling deeper and deeper into the struggle. And those are two things that happens when you're having trouble accepting yourself. So these things, the way we think of ourselves and the things we do to ourselves, is something we can change. So this is one thing we can change in our own lives. We cannot just say, hey, change this for me. We cannot have someone else change it. We can work with Christ through prayer, through reading the Bible, to work to mold our hearts, our lives, to become a better Christian. So acceptance means embracing what is rather than wishing for what is not. When we accept difficult realities, we are able to discover whatever positive feelings and experiences that may be possible in that situation. So when we accept these rough realities of, yes, I'm overweight, or yes, I'm not the prettiest person in the room, or I'm not the best at athletics, or stuff like that, when we accept these difficult realities, we find ourselves more at peace and able to experience life on a more deeper level and on a more moral level with Christ. Even so, acceptance must be guided by discernment. I'm going to say that again. Even so, acceptance must be guided by discernment. So learning how to tell the difference between what we can change and what we can not change is key. Because if we're working to change something that we cannot change, you're putting all your time and effort into something that's pointless. So those are kind of the first two types of acceptance. I hope they made a little more sense that I was speaking on. But the third type of acceptance that I am talking about is accepting yourself and in understanding the acceptance of God towards us. So that would be considered, I'll split them apart, but that's acceptance from God to us as believers, and then God to us as non-believers, to people who are non-believers. So there's a base level of acceptance that God gives us. This would be considered the value in God's eyes. So like a rough example would be like a price tag at the store or something. The value that something has, the value in God's eyes. Obviously it's a lot more, but after that there is a more complex level of acceptance that God gives us. So this would be accepting us because He made us, but there is more complex, and that's the acceptance that God gives us as believers. So when I say this, I mean that if we fully commit to the faith with Christ, then we will be accepted into the family of God. And until we do that, we will not be accepted fully by Christ. So we have to take that step, allow Him to work in our life. We have to say, yes, You died on the cross for us, rose again to die for my sins. I accept that I'm a sinner. So if and when we do this, by accepting this faith with Christ, it will lighten, if not eradicate, the need for acceptance from others. So by having acceptance from God, by having the love from God, we do not need, it's not relevant to have the acceptance and in a way love from others. So my friends, my family, yes, we want that, but we don't need it. If we have the acceptance from God, then that acceptance from other people and love from other people will come with that. That's the power of Christ. So to break it down a little bit, if it's not really making sense, I tried to use the words as best that I could, but to break it down, God has unconditional love for us as humans. But He will not accept us into the faith unless we accept that we are sinners. We have to say that. We have to truly know it in ourselves that we were sinners. He died for us so that we can be accepted. John 1:12, Galatians 4:4-6, Ephesians 1-6, and Hebrews 4:16 all speak on the life with Christ, and a solid faith with Him and what it can result in and lead to. So, I have a few stories coming here. I was at a Christian conference about 2 years ago. I go every year. I was just there this year. Incredible conference. It's called Momentum. And I was there 2 years ago, and I was listening to this one speaker. His name was Rick. I can't really pronounce his last name. Cartagena, I think. He shared his testimony, and I don't know what words to describe it, but like, it was incredibly unbelievable, his story. This man was a drug-dealing killer. Like, if you ever watch movies, he's like the kingpin. Everybody respects him. Everybody fears him more so. So he, as he told us his story, Rick told us that he had sold drugs, he had ran from the cops, shot people, took drugs, tortured many, many people. I'm talking like, he said he beat people pretty much until they died. Now, if you don't think you can recover from something, that's an example. That's the power of Christ. Now, this is the love, this is His love that Christ gave to him. He knew, obviously God knew what He was doing, but He still loved him. Now, Rick is a very famous speaker. He speaks all around the country, all around the world, and his testimony is shaking lives. Like, It's crazy, but that's just something that shows God's love can transform somebody's life into a godly man, into someone who can preach his word and to pursue Christ. So, finally, I want to grasp the connection between acceptance and love, because the line is a little blurred between maybe what I'm saying about God loving someone and God accepting someone. So we want to be constantly encouraging people and drawing people into love, of course. This doesn't have to even be a Christian belief. If you go out and ask anyone, go on the streets and take an interview, and say, what do you think love is? I believe that you would get a few different answers, but for the most part, I feel like you would get the basic idea of what love is. Respect, acceptance. There's a few things that I feel like people would say love is to someone else. That mutual relationship. So, I'm sure you would get a few different views, like I said, but I would guess it would still have this basic idea of what love is. I could be wrong, but this is just what I would guess. And ending up with love having the same meaning to believers of Christ as they would to other people when it comes to talking about loving others. Now, if we step back into the Christian faith, John 13:34 is a verse that speaks on loving one another. So I just wanted to kind of split that up and explain it a little more. So, but another kind of story, I've been reading a book called Out of a Far Country by Christopher Yon, and it's about a gay son's journey to God and a broken mother's search for hope. So a son and a mom wrote this book together a few years back, and I'll tell you a little bit about his story because it's incredible. So I started to read this, and a few things stood out to me. One of them was that when he was revealed as gay, his mother pretty much kicked him out. His father as well, his family, they disgraced him. At this point, they were not Christians. They were actually highly against religion and Christianity. So the mother and father could not stand to hear the news. She was disgraced and broken. And before, they knew this was kind of coming, because in the beginning of his, like when he was younger, he showed signs of it. So they spent, it says, hold on, they said, they spent thousands of dollars on counseling because he had started to show this when he was younger. Thousands of dollars to change something about someone. So she had tried to prevent this for many years, and it says that they spent thousands of dollars on counseling. Now, to clarify, they were not Christians. So as I continue to read, Christopher started to draw further and further away from family, as he wrote, because they did not accept his choices. So everything that he believed in, the family was on the opposite side at this time, because they were not Christians, they were not believers. Now, I do believe that attraction to the same sex, the choice of being homosexual or anything other than that, what the Bible says, I believe is a sin. I don't agree with it. But as I kept reading, don't think I believe in homosexuality or anything, but as I kept reading, I found out that Christopher's mother was on the verge of committing suicide when she encountered a Christian pastor who pretty much led her to Christ. Over about 2 weeks, I believe, they were speaking back and forth after he led her down from committing suicide. So, after that, let me tell you, the things God can do to people's lives are crazy. This whole family's life pretty much flipped completely. They became Christians. The mother was pursued and became a Christian, who then started preaching to her family, and her whole family came to Christ. So instead of turning away from her son, she pursued him. Instead of letting him fall, she caught him. This is exactly what I was saying earlier about having acceptance with Christ. So this would be considering the mom right now. Her life flipped completely. She finally, through Christ, started to pursue Christopher, to not change him, but to change him. So what I mean by that is she stopped pursuing him to change the aspects of his life. So him being gay, his personality, the way he dressed, the things like that, the little aspects of his life. Instead, she flipped and she started pursuing Christ. She started to, through Christ, pursuing him. Instead of changing, that's why I said, instead of changing him, they tried to change him. So one aspect of him they stayed away from, but the other, they pursued him. So if I kind of rambled on there, I'll try to describe it in a few better words. So what I mean by this is that she didn't try to just change him from being gay. Instead, she focused on allowing God to work through her to change his ideas of Christianity. So her views were trying to change his view on Christianity instead of a bunch of other stuff. So, gotta find where I am. Now, bringing him to Christ obviously started to change him, and her pursuing him started to really put those thoughts in his head more than it would if she wasn't. His mother did not accept his choices or his actions, but she accepted him as a human being and as a creation of God. This is something we must do. Like I was saying, we must accept people who are not like us, who are not Christian, who are not believers, but we still have to love them. Now, Christopher is now an extremely well-known speaker, like Rick, and his life just completely flipped. He went from someone who was highly against believers, because he told us that so many believers turned him away. He would go to church and they would turn him away. So now he speaks all over the country and he's impacting lives as well as Rick. And this is what I hope you get from this story. We need to continually pray for this group, of course, and other groups like it. We also need to make sure that we are not turning away from them because of their difference. So they have this difference that we don't believe in, but we should still respect them as a person. We should not turn them away just because of their difference. So there are many things that connect to this. There are many things that Christians, that we do not believe in, that others think are okay or even right. Some examples would be like the LGBTQ or abortion or forms of alcohol, sex before marriage, etc. Just because people don't believe exactly what we believe or agree with our views does not mean their views are considered stupid or wrong, at least not to them. We may not agree with them, but we should still, like I said, have that respect for them. We want to take into consideration their ideas and use their ideas to try to preach the gospel in hope that they understand what we are trying to say is what they are doing is not according to the word of God. So we must take what they believe, evaluate it, and be able to connect with them to eventually speak about Christ to them without getting into an argument on their views. So I actually got a chance to to hear both of them speak, and both of the speakers, Rick and Christopher, and I had the opportunity to listen to them, and I would definitely recommend it, and to read their books, to listen to them, because if I'm not making sense, which I hope I am, but if I'm not, they will. On the stuff they say, they will. And get ready, because your faith will be shaken. So now, acceptance for all people is important for us as Christians. But the most important thing is to be accepted by God through faith. This is possible only through the rejection of Christ on earth by people, who then died on the cross for our sins, rose again, and the story goes on. He forgave us, accepted us into the Christian faith. Being accepted by God will make accepting ourselves, there's a lot of accepting words in here, but stick with me. So, being accepted by God will make accepting ourselves much easier, and when we accept ourselves, it will make accepting others even easier. I'll read that again. Being accepted by God will make accepting ourselves much easier, and when we accept ourselves, it will make accepting others even easier. This is stated in Psalms 139. So, through all of this, adults, this is what I hope that you get from this. Since I'm younger, I'm sure you guys are much wiser than me, I want you guys to understand that you are the role models for us as young adults, for me, for them, for the up-and-coming youth, because I know that the youth are coming up this week, I guess, and you are the role models for us as young people and growing believers. So not just as a human being, but you are the role models, at least the people in the church, are the role models for us as growing Christians. And I also hope that you understand that this applies to you just as much as it does to the kids. The idea of acceptance. Even adults struggle with acceptance, and it may not be the same things as kids, but the problem is still there. Also, as a community or an individual, we need to make sure that wherever we are giving the acceptance that God gives us to other people, no matter how they look, how they act, or any other feature that may be frowned upon. And kids, teens, young adults, this is what I hope you get from this. I want you to understand that the struggle with acceptance can be denied, and the adults can, this is for them too as well, but the problem with acceptance can be denied, but you have to want it to. You cannot just say, I wanna change this about myself so I can grow closer to Christ, but not do anything about it. That's a huge thing. We say that we're gonna do something, and it never happens. So, the past is the past. We cannot change that. The way you were born, and the people you were born from, you cannot change that. There's a few other things, obviously, we can't change, but your faith, the way you live your life, your actions, all these things you can change personally as a Christian and a human being. You just have to want to change. You have to make that commitment to pursuing the change. So, I also want to make sure that you watch what you say. This is what I was saying about judgment, criticism, words that hurt people, because they do. They have a huge impact. I've had experience, I mean, with saying things to other people that are hurtful, or things said about me, like, that are hurtful. But we need to make sure, no matter how out of the ordinary someone may be, we need to show God's love to them and treat them the same way we want to be treated. Finally, it's the same thing I said to the adults. Make sure that you are a child of God through His acceptance, not just through His love, but through His acceptance to be a child of God into the Christian faith, and then proceed to accept yourself as well as others. So that's the pattern. You want to be accepted into the Christian faith by Christ, then proceed to accept others as well as yourself. So finally, the last thing I have for you today is, I want to leave you with, is the knowledge of acceptance from God is the most important, and any other type of acceptance from anyone or anything else, including yourself, is completely irrelevant when you have Christ in your life. So, obviously, Christ is number one, and stepping into that faith, that's all you need. Also, God has a specific plan for each and every one of you, and we have to trust that every part of our lives was made for a specific reason. So whatever He has, however you look, however you act, your personality, whatever you do, the activities you're in, there's a reason for that. And that's what God wants for all of us. So that's all I have for you today. Yes, I'll pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just come before you today, and we want to thank you that we have the opportunity to gather here and just learn your word, Lord. I pray that as people go out today and tomorrow and the years and the months, that they will just be able to preach your word and not let anything distract them from that. Lord, I pray that as we all go out to the non-believers and the people who are falling away from you, Christ, I pray that we can bring them back. We can preach the gospel to them and serve you. I thank you again that we could all be here today and that I had the opportunity to give the sermon, Lord, and let you speak through me. And I pray for the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn to page number 49 in the black folders. Number 49.
Can you please stand?
Sharing time, what things would you like to share with the group?
Good morning, this is Steve. First, I'd like to thank Josiah for his message, the reminder that our acceptance of Christ and what that teaches us should influence our acceptance of ourselves and of others. It's an important message. It's the gospel message. My second announcement is that this is your last opportunity on Tuesday to join down at Freedom Gate for the Bible study down there. We'll be meeting at 6:30 and heading down for a Bible study at 7 with all the guys at Freedom Gate. It is a blessing, so if you haven't been there, I'd encourage you, or even if you have been there, I'd encourage you to come along. My third message is, or announcement, is that the Freedom Gate banquet is September 23rd. So if you're interested in going along for that, or if you'd be interested in sponsoring a table perhaps, please see me. There is a flyer on the table at the back of the church if you want more information. Thank you.
I also reiterate what Steve said, Josiah. Thank you very much. It was a thought-provoking message. In fact, all the Romans messages have been thought-provoking to me, and it's kind of a appetite for what's coming up for me and probably some of the other ladies. At Ladies Retreat, I had mentioned how I attend this Bible study in Reading, and for anybody that's interested in joining, and I think some of you had expressed interest. It does start September 11th, and anybody that wasn't at Ladies Retreat and is interested about knowing about this Bible study I attend, it's an excellent way to study the Bible. They use a fourfold approach. It has really benefited me in my Christian life. I've been attending for probably about 4 years. So if you need, like I said, if you're interested, come and talk to me about it. I certainly am looking forward to it and hope some more people decide to join. Thanks.
This is Darla. I just want to say thank you to everybody that prayed for us last week while Wade and I spent several days at Hershey. Thankfully, he is doing a lot better. They have diagnosed him with having asthma, which we did not know he had. And so we still have to go for some more tests to make the actual confirmation, but they're 99% sure it's what it is. So yeah, we just appreciated all the prayers, and he came home with tons of things. So if you have a chance to support Ronald McDonald House, they were fabulous to us in there. And when he was told he had to do chores after he got home, he's like, I want to go back. They were so much nicer in there with everything they did. But yes, we really did appreciate it, and I felt the prayers while we were there.
Hi, this is Loretta, and I'd also like to thank Joe for the message. It spoke to me. I don't know if God's trying to tell me something this week or not, but earlier this week I had the opportunity to preview a movie called Same Different as Me, which will be coming to the theaters, and it talks about homelessness and deals with that subject. And one of the things that really stuck out to me in that movie was that you're not handing me a plate of food, you're acknowledging my existence. And so I think, you know, the acceptance, and that's what I got from Joe's message, that we have to accept everyone and no matter what. And, you know, sometimes we do put up those, we do prejudge, and we shouldn't. And that kind of also ties into September 14th is the next community meal. There is a sign-up sheet in the back for helpers. I don't have the food sign-up sheet yet. That'll be I'll have that at church by next week. Thank you.
Hi, this is Michelle Fry. I just wanted to let you know next week I'll be sharing a little bit about my job teaching in Reading, and then my family and I are providing the fellowship meal to raise money for needs for my school and students.
So if you didn't catch that, we intended to get it in the bulletin, but we didn't. The fellowship meal next week is a fundraiser meal. So you don't have to bring food, but bring money. And it's for Michelle's classroom, their school needs, and she'll share a bit more about that next week. Okay, please stand together for prayer. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you together. God, we take for granted, at least I do, too often, the simple fact that you love me for who I am. You made me, and you've chosen me and you love me. Those simple facts, God, I pray that you would help them to sink deep in our hearts and souls, that because you made us and you made each person, that they have value and are loved and they are worthy of our love and respect in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you would use that love and respect that we give to other people to point them to you, and that they would not be turned away from you. Thank you, Lord, for Freedom Gate. We continue to pray for them this month. We ask for your blessing on the Bible study this week. And I pray that you continue to use that ministry in the lives of these men. Thank you for Ruth and her involvement in this Bible study. We pray that you would lead any others that you want to be involved in that. And I pray that it would be a wonderful time of connection with one another and with your word. Thank you for healing in Wade's life. We pray that you would continue to guide Lester and Darla and their family and the caregivers as they decide how to best deal with his asthma. And thank you just for the support that they felt, and thank you that he is home and healthy. Pray for the upcoming community meal on September 14th, that could be a blessing as we serve together, those who are able. And I pray that it would be a blessing in the lives of those who receive that meal, and that they would feel appreciated, loved, and cared for in the name of Christ. Thank you for all the schools, colleges that are starting or have started, and as we as students and teachers go back, I pray for strength and blessing as they go into those environments again and just begin the new schedule. I pray, Lord, that you would help each one to be a light where they're at for you. I pray that you would bless the teaching and learning that would happen, that it would be truth that is taught, and in those settings, we pray for your favor. I pray a blessing on Michelle and her family as they provide the meal next week and as she shares a bit about the needs at her school. And thank you, God, again, just for loving, for accepting us, and I pray that you would help us as you've given us that command to go and be that for other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.